Morning. Let me start off with a piece of friendly, worldly advice. When you rent a car, don't leave your car keys in the console when you return it. Learned that lesson yesterday morning. So hopefully the week starts off better than the weekend started. But I got to give Ben some props. Whether he knows or not, he gave me the idea for my lesson today. A couple weeks ago, Ben came and talked to a group of us. There's a small group of students that meet in the Ag building every Tuesday morning. A small little pick-me-up midweek Bible study before we go to class. We meet at 7:30, so we have, 20, 30 minutes before 8 a.m. start. And Ben came and spoke to us. And as Ben was talking, he was asking these questions, and as we would answer the questions, he would always ask why. And it didn't matter what the question or what our answer to the question was, his response was always why. Why do we do that? Why don't we do that? Why do we believe that? Why do we teach that? And a buddy of mine that was there at the study came to me after. He said, I really appreciated the mindset that Ben brought of why, because sometimes you don't really think about it, you just do it. So that's what I want to talk about today, is why. As I was kind of sitting here thinking, I thought of some things of, why do we keep our language clean? Why do we stay away from alcohol? Why do we strive to be honest and to work hard, to do well in school, to marry a good husband or a good wife, to be good fathers or mothers, brothers or sisters, to be good Christians? Why do we strive to do those things? There's two mindsets, I think, that can take over whenever we ask those questions. It's both a negative and a positive mindset. So I want to start off the first verse I want to look at today is in Exodus chapter 20. If you want to turn your Bibles over to Exodus chapter 20. We know here that the Ten Commandments have been written and have been presented to the children of Israel. So we're going to start in Exodus chapter 20, really in verse 13, the first short commandment right there. There's a couple that are above it that are a little bit lengthy, but the first one is four words, thou shalt not murder. And then verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Verse 15, you shall not steal. I mean, it's simple commands that we really may not think much about. Well, yeah, that's pretty good things not to try to do, But I don't know, kind of the mindset of why did God tell his people that? Did he tell his people not to commit murder so that he would scare them into believing a command? Or was it so that he could protect the lives of his children? And I don't know, maybe in the Old Testament there was more of a fear-based belief, but I don't think that's what we see in the New Testament. Just simple commands that started off there pretty early on in the Old Testament. And I don't know if many of us have ever sat down to think about why. So that's kind of what I want to look at today, but more along the lines of inside the New Testament and commands that we're given as Christians. So, well, like I said before, some ones I want to look at today are our language or our conduct, alcohol and the struggles that can be faced with that. Hard work, both in work and in school. Roles of the family, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers. Touched briefly on spouses. I'm 21 years single, so I don't know that I have all that much advice that I could give about spouses, but there's some good scriptures that we can look at there. And then finally, why become a Christian? Why are we Christians? Why do we try to live out Christ throughout our lives? So the first one that I want to look at here is the language. So if you will turn to Ephesians, we'll start in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 reads, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." And then backtrack a little bit to verse 25. "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." So when we see those two commandments right there, we'll start with the negative mindset first of what could come to mind of why should we follow those. Is it so that we should be scared about saying something wrong or so afraid to talk that we don't talk at all? I don't really think that's the purpose of that commandment that we're given there. Instead, I want to look at the positive mindset of it. Positive is edification, to give grace so those around us can see Christ living through us, even if we're not specifically talking about Christ. Keeping our language clean, we're talking about things that are uplifting and edifying. They should be able to see Christ living through us and speaking through our mouths. There's a small group that I meet with that are also ag majors on Tuesday nights, and we've been going over the book of Proverbs. And I think it's so interesting that in Proverbs, within the same verse, it can give an if-then statement or a this-then that. It can give one side of things and then immediately the other. And so I think that's kind of interesting. You see that in Proverbs, but then, you know, in Ephesians verse 25, it kind of brings in the same mindset there. Therefore, laying aside falsehood on one side, the other side, speak truth. And I think that's such an interesting pattern that we see throughout a lot of Scripture. And that shows that we can have one negative mindset, one positive mindset about that. But if you will turn over to Colossians chapter 3, we'll look at one other scripture about our language, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. There's one verse that doesn't, within the same verse, have the if, then, or that, a positive contrasted to a negative. But shortly after that, in verse 10, we'll keep on going through verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. And then verse 10, we see this contrast of old versus new, and have put on the new self, who has been renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. I think that's just very compelling of, okay, yes, we know we should keep our language clean, but why? Is it so that we can be scared about what we're going to say? Or is it so that we can look forward to what we might bring to someone else, that we can uplift them and edify them and be renewed in true knowledge according to the image of one who created him? So there's my take on our language. Now let's move over to alcohol. We had actually read Proverbs 23 a couple weeks ago, so if you will, I know we're doing a lot of back and forth flipping, but if you'll turn over to Proverbs chapter 23 with me, a passage we're probably all familiar with, or most of us at least. Chapter 23 at the end lays out this long story and long narrative of one that is someone that is struggling with alcohol, or someone that is it warns us against that. So we'll start in verse 29 of chapter 23 in Proverbs. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? And who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine, those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things. And you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. And so we read that and bring in the concept again of why. Why should we not look at wine when it sparkles in the cup? Is it to fear the rest of that little blurb there? Well, maybe so. I think there's a healthy fear in our relationship with the Lord. But it's not so that we can live in constant fear. Instead, I would venture to say that why should we not look upon the wine when it's red? So that we can instead look forward to a sober state of mind. We can look forward to being controlled by ourselves, not controlled by sorrow or woe, contentions, complaining, so that we won't have wounds without cause. I think it's very interesting. And again, we see right here why there's a complete answer. Verse 31, do not look on the wine when it's red. And verse 32, at the last, it bites like a serpent and it stings like a viper. But instead, going back to the same concept that we talked about with the language of rather be sober-minded so that we can edify, we can give grace, we can show Christ living through us and be renewed our new self through him. So, I don't know, it can be kind of negative when you read these passages, especially if you're reading Proverbs a chapter at a time, and you read chapter 23, you get to the end there, and it's kind of a low spot to end. But instead, I would encourage us to keep that positive mindset of why. Why should we go from there and go forward better? So transitioning from there to be better, to go forward better, we'll look at hard work, both for our jobs and for school. And if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, First 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Verse 31 reads, "Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." A passage, again, I'm sure most of us are familiar with. But why? Why do we do it? Why do we do everything we do to the glory of God? Do we slack off in school so that we don't look like a nerd in front of all of our friends? I'm the guy that procrastinates. If you wait till the last minute for an assignment, it takes 1 minute to do. That's not a good mindset to have. That's not a good mindset we should have in our lives. But oftentimes, that's kind of what it ends up being sometimes. But why should we not have that mindset? You know, I bring some of these points up, the hard work in school, and that's something that I myself kind of struggle with sometimes. So why should we go apart from that? Why should we work harder at our jobs? Is it because we're trying to kiss up to our bosses or someone over us? Not necessarily. It should be so that we can show that we are living our lives for Christ and doing all things for Him, just like it says in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Whether we're eating or we're drinking or whatever we're doing, do all for the glory of God. So transition outside of school and work and start looking inside the family. So fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I think Ephesians 6 is such a good chapter to when we're looking at how to structure our lives and the different roles that we can each play. And the little caption above chapter 6 in this New American Standard Bible that I'm reading from, it captions it family relationships. And just before that, in chapter 5 in Ephesians, you know, we're right before the beginning of chapter 6, it's talking about marriages, husbands and wives, and how that relates to Christ and the church. But let's start reading in Ephesians chapter 6. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." The very first verse, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Should you just do what your parents tell you so that you don't get in trouble or that so that you don't get disciplined? Well, no, it's followed up by the second verse. It's for honor, for honoring your father and the mother, and then through that, honoring the Lord, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And then switch over right from the children's mindset, the perspective of a child, to the perspective of a parent. "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." You know, when I was young, I didn't always maybe understand why. I probably did and just chose not to realize it. But why was I getting in trouble? Why was what I was doing wrong? Or why did my parents decide to bring that to my attention or to correct my actions? Well, it was not in a negative mindset so that they could yell at me. I don't think my parents enjoyed yelling at me. I hope not. I'm sure they didn't. I know they didn't. But I was an ornery child, and so now I'm kind of sitting here looking back thinking, why were they so patient? I was rambunctious. I was ornery. But now I see this, you know, they chose to discipline me whenever correction was needed so that they could bring me up in the instruction and the discipline of the Lord in a positive mindset. Not so that I could be the kid in timeout with my nose in the corner, but so that I could grow to be one that knew what was right and knew what to do. And it keeps going through here. "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters." In verse 5, "according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and the sincerity of your heart as to Christ." That goes back to what we were talking about with our jobs and with work. Be obedient to your masters or to your bosses, those ahead of you, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. So it's not so much a terrible thing that if you do have that fear, obviously, you know, I'm starting to understand that bills have to be paid. So I have a small fear of going to work, getting the paycheck, paying bills. But more so, I'm doing that work so that I can show the sincerity of Christ in my heart. And there's so many things that we could look at in chapters 5 and 6 of Ephesians. I think that there's so many good points there. But for the sake of time, we'll move on. We'll go look back a little bit in Ephesians 5 to spouses. Why should we strive to make our marriages and our relationships mimic Christ and the church? Is it to just avoid a divorce and avoid a messy situation with children and with families? Or is it to create a healthy relationship described in Ephesians verse 5? 25, verse 25 of Ephesians 5, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." So that applies to all our relationships, not just a husband and wife, but those around us, those that we care for, our family members. Should we be nice to them and keep things good just to avoid having awkward family reunions and awkward family Christmases? Or should we love them and should we be ready to give ourselves up for them just as Christ gave himself up for the church? So the last few things that we've talked about have been more specific individual reactions or individual responsibilities. But ultimately, the last question is, why be a Christian? Why be baptized? Is it so that we can live for the rest of our lives like a scared little puppy with our tail between our legs, scared about messing up, but knowing that we can have Christ behind us, but still scared? I don't think so. I think it's so that we can have that hope of spending eternity in heaven, living in His grace, forgiven of our sins. If you will turn to Galatians 6, chapter 8 now, just right where we were. We'll start in verse 7. With goodwill, render service as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. I think that is an important mindset to have in whatever we do and why we do things. Is it so that we can live in the fear of the negative consequences, or is it so that we can strive to follow those commandments, follow our lives to Christ as we should, so that we can, right here, receive back from the Lord, whether we are slave or free. So we've talked about why we should do things, but now one final question, I think the most important question to be asked, if you are outside of Christ, is why not? Why are you not a Christian? Is it because of fear? Or knowledge, or the lack of knowledge, lack thereof, or maybe embarrassment. Maybe it's not what people around you are doing. Maybe it's not what you see all around you and people influencing your lives. Why not? We've talked about why we should and shouldn't do things, but ultimately the indecision is, why should you become a Christian? And if you are not a Christian, why not?